Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Monday, June 8, 2020. City pools to open Wednesday. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center will be opening Wednesday. Because of less than normal staffing, the pools will operate on different days. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Both pools will be closed on Mondays for maintenance and training. The governor's orders limit attendance to 50% of normal occupancy, according to a press release from the city. In an effort to accommodate as many people as possible and to allow staff to clean the facilities, entry passes will be sold for three-hour sessions. Passes, which are $3, go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before the posted opening times and are good only for the day of purchase. Punch cards will not be sold this year, according to the release. Also, because of staffing limitations and coronavirus precautions, there won't be private parties, lap swim times, swimming lessons, or family nights. Pool furniture will be removed from both pools, and swimmers are not allowed to bring chairs. Anyone with coronavirus symptoms or who has been exposed to anyone that with symptoms in the previous 14 days should not go to the pools, according to the release. The schedule is Washington, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday. Doug Russell, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Clinics offer coronavirus tests. First Med of Midland, 201-1403. MidlandUrgentCareClinics.com. Cash price for virtual visit for COVID-19, $75. Cash price for nasal swab, PCR test, $70. Cash price for COVID-19 antibody test, $50. Cash price for office visit, $120 to $150. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 nurse. MidlandHealth.org. Mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access, 68 nurse or 221-1111. Cash price for antibody testing, $50. Signature Care, 699-2601. ercare24.com/Midland. Cash price for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for antibody test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for both COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR, and antibody, $300. If patients are insured, we'll need to pay copay. Rest will be billed to insurance. Copay waived for first responders. Source, Midland Health. MISD serves summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal schedule is in effect. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab and go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 11 locations, according to a press release from the district. Meals are available for any child 18 or under, or those who receive services from school. The locations are Bonham, Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Disavala, Rusk, Santa Rita, South, and Yarborough Elementary Schools, Fire Station Number 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. MISD has served more than 405,000 meals during the COVID-19 related closure of schools, Victoria Beck, Director of Child Nutrition Services, said. Daily menus are available at MidlandISD.net under Child Nutrition Services. Today in history. Today is Monday, June 8, the 160th day of 2020. There are 206 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On June 8, 1967, during the six-day Middle East War, 34 American servicemen were killed when Israel attacked the USS Liberty, a Navy intelligence-gathering ship in the Mediterranean Sea. Israel later said the Liberty had been mistaken for an Egyptian vessel. On this date, in 1966, a merger was announced between the National and American Football Leagues to take effect in 1970. In 1968, authorities announced the capture in London of James Earl Ray, the suspected assassin of civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In 1972, during the Vietnam War, the Associated Press photographer took a picture of a screaming 9-year-old girl, Phan Thi Kim Phuc, as she ran naked and severely burned from the scene of a South Vietnamese napalm attack. In 1995, U.S. Marines rescued Captain Scott O'Grady, whose F-16C fighter jet had been shot down by Bosnian Serbs on June 2. Mickey Mantle received a liver transplant at a Dallas hospital. However, the baseball great died 2 months later. In 1998, the National Rifle Association elected actor Charlton Heston to be its president. In 2009, North Korea's highest court sentenced American journalists Laura Ling and Yuna Lee to 12 years hard labor for trespassing and hostile acts. The women were pardoned in early August 2009 after a trip to Pyongyang by former President Bill Clinton. Today's birthdays: singer Nancy Sinatra is 80, musician Boz Scaggs is 76, actress Kathy Baker is 70.
Organizers look to continue conversation with Odessa officials. By J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hearstnp.com. Odessans gathered Wednesday for a peaceful protest, march, and rally from City Hall to the Odessa Police Department and back. The organizers of In Defense of Black Lives said that event was just the beginning. They are planning to work with officials on other issues. In Defense of Black Lives head organizer, attorney Gavin Norris, said the group planned the rally in 48 hours. He estimates 500 people attended. A lot of young people who we have worked with and we've networked with through the community were decided they wanted to do something since nothing was being done. They wanted a young voice heard and a voice of millennial young professionals to be heard. They called me and we created a coalition of young millennials. The native Odessan graduated from Permian High School and University of Texas Permian Basin. He then interned with the NAACP in Washington, D.C., and worked on civil rights cases, which he said sharpened his social justice tools. He returned to Texas and got his law degree at Texas Southern University's Thurgood Marshall School of Law, which focuses on social justice and activism. Norris returned to Odessa in 2015 and got involved with the community through Know Your Rights seminars. The seminars included the chief of police, attorneys, and city leaders who would meet with the community every few weeks to discuss people's rights from the time someone is stopped by the police all the way through a trial. He said the group is focusing on issues that affect the African American community in Odessa. I think the goal is to address issues that negatively impact African Americans under the umbrella of social justice, which includes police brutality, disparities within the education system, especially for something that impacts the CRADL, a two-prison pipeline. I don't think it's a stretch to look at health care as well. One of the biggest examples right now is the COVID-19 pandemic is showing the disparities in our healthcare system. The group plans to tackle one issue at a time, but these are all issues they are looking into addressing with the Odessa community. We will sit down with our elected officials, the city council members, and with the police department to look at the aggregation of the data, which deals with policing our community and any disparities within policing minority communities versus other communities. We will look at incidents with data that show incidents of unconscious bias, racism, or prejudice, and find out how we can better deal with some of those issues. Norris said during the rally that this is not a police-hating rally or movement. They don't hate police, and they love police as well as need them, but they are working to hold them accountable when they don't do right. You can't paint everyone with a wide brush, he said. We understand that the community doesn't like to be painted with a broad brush as being with any type of characterization or identity. It would be unfair to our local leaders and police to do the same. We know there are bad police officers, but we also know there are a lot of good police officers. There are good citizens as well as bad citizens. He said people come into any job or industry with preconceived notions as well as conscious and unconscious biases. Those are the things they want to address and make people aware of in order to avoid the issues that happened to George Floyd, Tamir Rice, Walter Scott, and others. Norris said they plan to address issues within ECISD next. Co-organizers and sisters Deja McKnight and Dorian Wallace both spoke about racial issues that occur at the school district. Wallace is a substitute teacher for ECISD. During her speech, she talked about racial issues within ECISD. She said she was confused when she read an article from the Odessa American in January, which stated of the more than 30,000 students at ECISD, there are 1,446 black students, which make up 48% of the school supervisions. How can they make up half out of the school suspensions when they are only 4% of the student population? Something's very alarming and wrong with that picture. McKnight is a teacher at Ector College Prep Success Academy. She said her family has many stories about racism in Odessa, and they are still fighting for the same cause that her grandparents and people before them have fought for. She said that as a teacher, they start professional development in the summer, which trains teachers how to treat people. I think they have skipped over how to treat people who don't look like you, she said. We talked about ethics, but I think it needs to be called out on its own so people understand that it is different. We have other training sessions that are specific to other groups and other individuals. I feel like there needs to be a specific one for understanding different cultures because we have a lot of people here that are not all from the same background. The rally also had voter registration tables set up, which Norris said is important in order to implement change. We understand most of the folks who are shaping decisions that are in policies or laws that affect our daily lives, they are elected officials. If you are unhappy with something that is going on in your community, then the first place you look at is your elected official. Norris said he couldn't be more proud of his city. I'm proud because the process was peaceful, he said. Not only those who were there attended it with the intention of being peaceful while having their voices heard, we didn't have anyone from the outside or anti-protesters trying to incite anything or antagonize. We have a city that is yearning for peace. Midland County records second most cases in a week by Stuart Doreen. S-D-O-R-E-E-N at HurstNP.com. The Midland Health Department reported the most confirmed coronavirus cases this week since April. The Health Department reported 26 cases during the calendar week, which was the second most during the pandemic, trailing the 29 from April 19 to 25. The number of cases was nearly three times the number during the last 2 weeks combined. The 26 cases also raised the total number from 129 to 155. The cases provided a contrast to the totals heading into the week. The age group with the most was 30 to 39. Next was 0 to 19. Those two age ranges accounted for half of the total cases. There were only two cases involving Midland County residents, 70 and older, according to Health Department and Reporter Telegram numbers. Numbers from the week also showed an equal amount for women and men. The Health Department also showed 73 of the 155 confirmed cases have recovered and 13 have died.
Obituaries. Helen Shrivener Hofs Littleton. Helene Shrivner Hofst-Littleton passed away peacefully at home with family April 11, 2020. She was born on July 26, 1928, in San Antonio to Ferd and Esther Shrivner. Shortly after, they moved to northern Michigan, where her father was with the Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps later relocated the family to the Texas coast. Helene graduated Ball High School in Galveston and continued on to Trinity University on a full-voice scholarship, earning a B.S. in education. In her senior year, she was crowned the first homecoming queen of Trinity University. She was uniquely polished and graceful, very proud of her English heritage. Helene had the most beautiful voice and was recruited by music professionals in New York, but her parents would not hear of such nonsense and insisted she become a teacher for a more stable income. While in college, she met Richard Hofst, and although tempted to make singing a career, they married. Helene opted for being a rancher's wife and school teacher in Balmoray. Together, she and Richard have 5 children. She loved the ranch. She loved her many friends and families of the Trans-Pecos area. She and Richard later divorced, and she moved to Uvalde as a single mom with her 3 youngest and continued her teaching. After being set up on a blind date by friends, she met her future husband, Jimmy Littleton, from San Antonio. She and Jimmy lived in San Antonio for over 30 years. During retirement, they traveled extensively all over Europe. They especially loved Scotland and made some very special friends there. Helene was a member of St. Luke's Episcopal Church in San Antonio until her move to San Angelo in 2015, to be closer to her children. Whenever one of her kids run into old friends, they are always reminded of what a beautiful person Mom was. She loved animals, especially her precious dogs. Helene was preceded in death by her parents, Fred and Esther Shrivner, her husband Jimmy, her son Graham Hofst, and her precious granddaughter Allison Littleton. Survivors include her son Mark Hofst, daughter Kathy Armstrong and husband Andrew, son Ferd Hofst and wife Cindy, daughter Julianne Martin and husband Bill, daughter-in-laws Michelle Hofst and Loy and husband Tim Thompson, many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The family will have a private graveside service on the 11th of June in Burney, where Mom will be laid to rest with her Shrivner family. The Reverend Irv Cutter from St. Luke's of San Antonio will be officiating. The family would like to say a deep, heartfelt thank you to our caregivers from Comfort Keepers, Debbie, Tanya, Lupe, Jackie, Maggie, and Sue. Also thanks to Kindred Hospice. Special thanks to Dr. Carolina Ojeda Flores for her care and compassion. Memorials may be made to a charity of your choice. To leave condolences for the family, please visit www.ebensberger-fisher.com. Arrangements with Ebensberger Fisher Funeral Home of Burney, Texas. Jeff Vinson. Jeff Vinson, age 34, of Fort Worth, Texas, passed away on March 27, 2020. He was born on January 17, 1986, to Brian L. Vinson and Elaine Portelli Vinson. Jeff grew up in Midland and was a 2004 graduate of Robert E. Lee High School. Jeff was a kind soul who never met a stranger and made friends wherever he went. Jeff loved being at the Concho Grande Ranch, where he and his brother Neil spent many good times hunting and fishing. A memorial service in celebration of Jeff's life will be held at 11 a.m. at the Paint Rock Methodist Church, with Pastor Michael Thompson officiating in Paint Rock, Texas. Jeff is survived by his father, Brian Vinson of Paint Rock, his mother, Elaine Portelli Vinson, and brother, Neil Vinson, both of Fort Worth, Texas, as well as his grandmother, Louise Rowan Vinson of San Angelo, Texas. Jeff is preceded in death by his grandparents, M.C. Morty Vinson, T.J. and Evelyn Portelli. We request that any memorial donations to Jeff's memory be sent to the First United Methodist Church of Paint Rock. P.O. Box 85, Paint Rock, Texas, 76866. Martha Torres. Martha Torres, 488, of Hatch, New Mexico, passed away on Wednesday, May 20, 2020. The family will receive friends from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday, June 13, 2020, at the branch at NPW in Midland. A service will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 20, 2020, at Spanish Church of God, Philadelphia, in Hatch, New Mexico. Interment will follow at Gardens of Memory Cemetery. Martha Torres was born on December 16, 1971, in El Paso, Texas, to Maria Inez and Darnell Fields. She was married for 29 years to Rosendo Manuel Torres. She had three beautiful children, Demetris, Tristan, and Ashanti Torres. Martha was a high school math teacher for 15 years. She was a beautiful, fun, loving, and caring person who loved her family more than anything. Martha Torres is survived by her children, Demetris, Tristan, and Ashanti Torres. Martha Torres is preceded in death by her father, Darnell Fields, and mother, Maria Inez. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Ann Ox. Mary Ann Ox, age 89, of Midland, Texas, and former resident of Newton, Illinois, passed away at 2 a.m. Saturday, May 30, 2020, at Arbor House Assisted Living and Memory Care in Marble Falls, Texas. Private services will be held. Burial will be in the Mount Calvary Cemetery in Newton, Illinois. Arrangements are under the care of the Mayor Funeral Home in Newton, Illinois. The obituary can be viewed and condolences left at www.meyerfh.com. Mary Ann was born on June 26, 1930 in Newton, Illinois, the daughter of Edward and Zella Ross Weber. She married Alvin E. Ox on June 17, 1950, and he preceded her in death on February 10, 1990. Mary Ann was a homemaker, wife, mother, and grandmother. She was a member of the St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland, Texas, and former member of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church in Newton, Illinois. Mary Ann was a bridge life master, member of St. Anne's Choir, YMCA, and a school volunteer. While a member of the St. Anne's Choir, they performed for the Pope at the Vatican and at his appearance in San Antonio, Texas. Mary Ann is survived by children Mark Diane Ox of Midland, Texas, Tom Ox of Midland, Texas, and Francine Bart Harmon of Marble Falls, Texas, brother Steve Becky Weber of Salem, Illinois, brother-in-law Cloyce Johnson of St. Charles, Illinois, sister-in-law Verna Ox of Mattoon, Illinois, 7 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren. Mary Ann was preceded in death by her parents and sister Barbara Bobby Johnson. Maureen Thetford Austin Banks. Maureen Thetford Austin Banks, 67, passed away peacefully on May 18, 2020. Maureen was born on February 12, 1953 in Brookhaven, Mississippi, to Ralph, Ted, and Frances Thetford. She spent most of her childhood in Midland, Texas, where she grew up with her 5 siblings, Rami, Breeze, Michelle, Hogan, Jerry, Michael, and Teresa. Maureen was always an eager student and was often the first one done with her homework. She went to nursing school in Tyler, Texas, and graduated with her RN degree. Not long after graduation, while out having fun with friends, who at that time called her Mark, Maureen attempted to try out a trapeze. Unfortunately, she missed and fell and broke her back. While in the hospital, she met her first husband, Bruce G. Austin. Soon after they were married, the two of them moved to Spokane, Washington. Maureen worked as an RN and most enjoyed working with women right after they had their babies in the postpartum unit. After having her own 2 children, John Austin and Brenda Austin Vladko, she was a stay-at-home mom before returning to nursing when her children started school. Maureen later married her second husband, Pat Banks, and became a stepmother to Patrick Banks. She went back to school to become a chemical dependency counselor and worked for Spark for several years. She touched many lives as a drug counselor in the Spokane area. After her divorce from Pat, Maureen lived a simple life. She always had a love for animals and cared deeply for her pets. As most grandparents would agree, some of the best days of Maureen's life were spent with her grandchildren. She was Nana to Ella and Katya Vladko and Sydney Lenok, her Nan daughters. After receiving a diagnosis of dementia 4 years ago, Maureen moved to Western Washington to be closer to her children and their families. Throughout Maureen's life, her faith in God kept her going during good times or bad. Maureen leaves behind her children, John, Kristen, Austin, Brenda, Dennis, Vladko, her grandchildren, Ella and Katya Vladko, and Sydney Lenok, her mother, Fran Thetford, her sisters, Michelle Hogan and Teresa Thetford, and her brothers, Jerry and Michael Thetford, brother-in-law, Bob Breeze, and stepson, Patrick Banks. Maureen is preceded in death by her father, Ted Thetford, and her sister, Rami Breeze. The family has plans to hold a memorial service in August at Heritage Funeral Home in Spokane, Washington. Please contact the funeral home for the service date and time. In lieu of flowers, please support your local animal shelter. Death Notices. Edward Lee Dobson. Edward Lee Dobson, age 58, of Midland, Texas, passed away Friday, June 5, 2020. Receiving of friends will be Monday, June 8, 2020, at Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel from 12 to 2 p.m. and 5 to 7 p.m. A graveside service will be Tuesday, June 9, 2020, at Rest Haven Memorial Park at 1 p.m. Edward is survived by his wife, Jo Dobson, sons Cody Dwayne Dobson and Tommy Lee Dobson, a daughter, Lisa Ann Dobson, and stepchildren, Tanya Lynn Yabata and Bo Curry. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Jamie Marie Cardenas. Jamie Marie Cardenas, 54, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, June 3, 2020. A memorial service will be held at a later date. She is survived by her son, Javier Cardenas, and two daughters, Cheyenne Cardenas and Desiree Cardenas.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 7th, 2020. Section A. CAF Takes to the Skies by Michael Bauer. Taking to the skies above Odessa and Midland, the Commemorative Air Force High Sky Wing conducted its second flyover of the year Saturday morning, commemorating the 76th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Coincidentally, it was also the reopening of the Midland Army Airfield Museum and High Sky Wing Hangar. The museum, which is open Saturdays from 10 to 3, had previously been closed due to COVID-19. Today's a special day for us, CAF High Sky Wing leader Gina Linebarger said. We've opened the museum after a few months of being down, so we're very anxious to have the public back out here. We thought today, being D-Day, the flyover would be for that reason, and we wanted to give something to our communities in Midland and Odessa to come and see us and see what we have. The last flyover took place last month as a salute to all the healthcare workers at the front lines of COVID-19. The museum preserves history, and Linebarger says that is crucial. To be opened back up and have our citizens back here to see history and see the planes help preserve our freedom is great, Linebarger said. Like with most other places that have reopened since COVID-19, the museum has undergone a lot of sanitizing. We've done a lot of spring cleaning, Linebarger said. We've revamped our gift shop and some areas, and we're anxious to see the public back. Cody Golden, who is also with the High Sky Wing of the CAF and does reenactments, says that history from the museum is important to pass on and teach. I think that it's great that we're finally getting to reopen, he said. The history of Midland and Odessa area has a World War II story, and that's one of these things that this museum is trying to educate. There's no telling how many people have missed during the closing that could have been educated about the Midland and Odessa history. During reenactments, Golden, along with other people, normally portray the 325th Glider Infantry, 82nd Airborne Division. We'll travel around to different events and reenact battles. Some of them, we are reacting how the battle took place. We're using some of our weapons and tactics that they would use back then to accomplish that goal. We're carrying the same equipment, the same guns, and everything as the World War II soldier would. For the pilots, it was great to get back up for another flyover. We try to do a couple of flyovers every year. Usually we'll pick a date like D-Day or Memorial Day or July 4th, Joe Gammertsfelder said. It's something that for people to come out and do and see planes over the skies. For Saturday's flyover, Gammertsfelder flew a Pilatus P-3. It was made in Switzerland, Gammertsfelder said. It's a Swiss trainer. They used it in the 1950s. And when the Swiss retired it, they sold it on the open market, and about 60 of them came over to the U.S. It's a somewhat rare plane. It was just used as a trainer. Gammersfelter said that the museum is a great place for anyone who's a plane enthusiast like himself. It's fantastic, he said. You can help educate the public. We have a lot of great airplanes out here. Anyone who likes airplanes, this is a great place to come out. I've been flying with these guys, and it's great to keep up the heritage and the history alive as much as we can. Linebarger says they will have another event on July 4th with an even bigger flyover. We're going to have a big open house with another flyover, and there'll be more coming on that one because we'll be joining the Commemorative Air Force National Organization for a tribute, Linebarger said. The CAF warbirds are scattered across the country, and we're all going to be flying together here. Earthquakes continue to rock the basin. Some geologists call saltwater disposal wells the culprit, by Bob Campbell. When Betty Davis said, "Fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy night," in the 1950 movie All About Eve, she could have been talking prophetically about the earthquake-beleaguered Permian Basin of 2020. At least 10 area quakes, ranging from a mild 2.0 in intensity on the Richter scale to an alarming 5.0, have occurred since February 19th, and folks are learning not to be surprised if they're jiggled about on the sidewalk or wakened by the floors rocking at night. Geologists say the quakes are induced phenomena caused by the high-pressure injection of massive amounts of salt water into wells for the disposal of fluids used in the hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, of bedrock oil or gas formations. Most of the quakes are coming from the depths of about 5 kilometers, or 3 miles. There are 2 saltwater disposal wells, both within a mile of Faudry Road and Highway 191, owned by Parks Bell Saltwater Disposal, and operated by Oilfield Water Logistics, OWL, operating of Midland and Dallas. OWL Executive Vice President Nick Hines said Wednesday that he had been aware of seismic activity in the southern Delaware Basin west of Odessa in Pecos and Reeves counties, but hadn't heard of any around Faudry and 191. "We don't put a lot of water down those wells, 5,000 to 7,000 barrels a day between the two, at less than 1,000 pounds per square inch," Hines said. "They're shallow little standalone wells, at least 2 miles short of the basement range of 15 to 20,000 feet. It's surprising to me because we try to make sure we prevent anything from happening in that area. According to EarthquakeTrack.com, there are numerous reasons for earthquakes. Don Blakeman, a geophysicist from the National Earthquake Information Center, which is part of the USGS in Golden, Colorado, said in April, "It is fairly common for places like West Texas to experience these small earthquakes. First off, just about anywhere in the U.S. can experience small earthquakes like these," Blakeman said. "North Dakota and Florida, maybe not so much, but West Texas and the Permian Basin, as well as many parts of Oklahoma and Arkansas and Colorado, have experienced induced earthquakes." Blakeman said that without extra study, he can't look at the wavelength forms and tell which earthquake is induced and which one isn't. "They don't look any different," Blakeman said. "It takes a lot of study. What's going on is induced quakes, that they are not caused by fracking, but they are caused sometimes by re-injection of the fracking and fluid in the oil well. So after they frack a formation, that fluid is recovered, it's plumbed back out of the well. That fluid has to be disposed of. You can't just leave it on the ground. You've got chemicals and everything in it. So it's typically pumped back into the well. It turns out that part sometimes causes these induced earthquakes. An induced earthquake is something that is caused by some other activity besides tectonic plate movements. The most obvious ones are from that reinjection of fracking fluid," Blakeman said. "There are occasionally other things like filling up a new reservoir. Sometimes that loads up the crust and we get small earthquakes from that sort of thing. The vast majority of quakes are due to disposal of fluid. Another well near the most recent quake is operated there by Concho Resources of Midland, whose Vice President of Investor Relations and Public Affairs, Megan Hayes, didn't respond to queries from the OA. Texas Railroad Commission Director of Communications R.J. DeSilva of Austin said in an email that the oil and gas regulator's highest priority is the protection of public safety and the environment. Our staff is aware of the cluster of seismic activity in an area between Odessa and Midland, DeSilva responded in an email. After TRCC District 8 Director Jeffrey Morgan of Midland did not, we have requested injection rate and pressure data from a number of disposal wells in the area, and our investigation is ongoing. Additionally, our staff continues to enforce some of the country's most stringent regulations on disposal wells in areas of seismicity. Since seismicity-related disposal well rules went into effect in 2014, the Railroad Commission has received 777 disposal well applications in areas of historic seismicity. Of these, 454 permits have been issued with special conditions, such as requirements to reduce maximum daily injection volumes and pressure, and or to record volumes and pressures daily as opposed to monthly, DeSilva said. 137 applications were returned or withdrawn. 104 were sent to hearing. 31 permits were issued without special conditions, and 51 applications are pending technical review. These are earthquakes reported by the U.S. Geological Survey. 3.3 on the Richter scale near Gardendale, February 19th, with moderate shaking and little damage. 3.0, 7 miles northeast of Odessa at 11:58 p.m. March 1st. 5.0, March 26th, near Mentone, 77 miles west of Odessa in Loving County. 3.6, March 28th, near Mentone. 3.1, 7 miles northeast of Odessa at 1:29 a.m. April 21st. 2.9, April 25th, at Van Horn, 163 miles west-southwest of Odessa. 2.4 northeast of Odessa at 9:16 p.m. April 27th. 2.4 between Odessa and Midland at 11:32 p.m. May 6th. 2.0 at 7:30 a.m. May 16th in the area of Faudry Road and Highway 191. 3.2 at 5:45 a.m. June 1st in the same area. Quick hits. Gun Expo. Silver Spur Trade Shows has scheduled a gun exposition from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. June 13th and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. June 14th at the Ector County Coliseum. Face masks, social distancing, and hand washing is encouraged. Cost is $7 for adults, $2 off for first responders, free for children under 12 and law enforcement with a badge, and $12 for a two-day pass. Clay Shoot Fundraiser. Share, Sharing Hands, a Respite Experience, has scheduled Shooters That Share, July 24th at Windwalker Farms in Stanton. Registration starts at 9 a.m. Funds go to support Share, a nonprofit organization dedicated to caring for families who care for a child with special needs. COVID protocol will be taken to assure everyone's safety. Six-man teams, $175 per shooter, lunch included. Sponsorships are available. To pre-register, sponsor, or for more information, call Rachel Reinert at 432-818-1257. Email rreinert at sharewtx.org or visit shootersthatshare.com. ECISD's Summer Hours. With June now here, summer hours schedule is in effect. Administrative buildings and campuses are open to the public from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday and closed on Friday. The summer schedule runs through July 23rd. In order to protect the staff and the community against the spread of COVID-19, everyone entering ECISD buildings must stop at the front desk, have their temperature taken, and answer screening questions. All visitors must wear a face covering. Second Amendment Rally Ends Peacefully by Michael Merlo. Around 150 people attended a Second Amendment rally Saturday afternoon at Big Daddy Zane's in West Odessa. The event, sponsored by Open Carry Texas, a gun rights group, was in response to the arrests of six men with the Freedom Initiative of Texas in early May. The six men arrested by Ector County Sheriff's Office had loaded AR-15 type weapons and were charged with possessing firearms at a place where weapons are prohibited, which is a felony. The group of men who were at the time members of Open Texas, but after a falling out with the group, created their own named Freedom Initiative of Texas, an armed group that traveled around the state trying to help reopen the doors of businesses that Governor Abbott deemed non-essential. Gabrielle Ellison, 47, the owner of the bar, was also arrested that day. The protest brought dozens of armed people who were carrying the same types of weapons that those arrested were. Open Carry Texas Vice President David Ahmad spoke on the arrests in early May at the rally during a media interview. The sheriff claimed that they were here to intimidate law enforcement. They were here to deter illegal action by law enforcement. And there's a difference, he said, adding that the arrests were unconstitutional. Enforce the law and respect people's constitutional rights. They're not optional. We have them, and they are inalienable, and you can't take them away from us. After about an hour at the bar, members of the protest stood on the back of a pickup and spoke into a megaphone. During the interview, Ellison said that if her charges for defying the governor's orders have been dropped, she wasn't aware of it, and that the charges seem to be in limbo, awaiting a response from the district attorney. She added that she has filed lawsuits against the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, as well as the Supreme Court, regarding the arrests made at her bar. She said a lot has changed since those were arrested earlier in May. We love our sheriff's department. We just want honesty, to be on the same page, to not be thrown in jail, she pointed out some of the protesters on her property. I really appreciate these guys, she said. Multiple groups attended the rally, including Open Carry Texas, Texas Freedom Force, and Freedom Initiative Texas, FIT. Philip Archibald, 29, who was not arrested earlier in May, stood unarmed with his dog Zeus during the rally along with others in FIT. Archibald said that his group had been in Dallas during the Black Lives Matter march, where he said he witnessed a lot of police brutality against black people. He also said that a lot of armed groups got labeled as white supremacist, but that FIT had attended those marches with the intent to keep Black Lives Matter marchers safe. He said that members of his group arrested by ECSO earlier in May don't know much about the status of their charges, and that some of their guns are still in the sheriff's office. Archibald also said in a previous Facebook Live that his views don't align with many other groups and that his views no longer align with President Trump, while others attending the rally had Trump 2020 apparel and flags. Former Texas 11th District Congressional candidate Casey Gray, who ran unsuccessfully for the GOP nomination for Congress this year, spoke about running for sheriff at the rally and, like many others attending, said that Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths was a tyrant. Griffiths is unopposed in November for his second term as Ector County Sheriff. After the rally at Big Daddy Zane's, protesters drove to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center parking lot, where some shook hands with law enforcement and open carried to take a group photo. Obituaries for Sunday, June 7th. Michael Castellon, Jr. North Richland Hills. Michael Castellon, Jr. was born in Odessa, July 15, 1985, to Rosie and Michael Castellon, Sr. He was preceded in death by his grandparents, Esperanza Nana, and Judge Manuel Guy Valles, Sr., Petronilo Papa Pete Castellon, Uncle Vidal Billy Valles, Uncle Desiderio Desi Castellon, Sister Hopi Sena, Brothers Stormy Ty Sena, and Stony Boy Sena. He is survived by his son, Christopher Noah Molina of Irving, his mother, Rosie Valles, and husband, Albert Valencia, his father, Michael Castellon Sr., and wife, Melissa of San Antonio, a brother, Matthew Valles Castellon, and wife, Pita of Odessa, and paternal grandmother, Luz Lois Castellon Eggleston, and husband, David of Midland. Visitation will be held Monday, June 8th, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home from 5 to 9 p.m., with a celebration of life to be shared at 7 p.m. Masks must be worn in funeral home at all times. Live streaming of the celebration of life will begin at 7 p.m. and conclude at 8 p.m. on Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home's Facebook page, Monday, June 8th. Funeral will be held Tuesday, June 9th at 1 p.m. at True Light Fellowship Church, with Pastor Roy Smith officiating. The service will be live streamed as well on the church website, with interment to follow at Ector County Cemetery. Edna Pearl Rust Fullen. Edna R. Fullen, 78, of Eastland, passed away June 3rd. She was born in Mangum, Oklahoma, to Hubert and Dorothy Rust on November 10th, 1941. She married David R. Fullen in 1960 in Levelland. She is preceded in death by her parents, her siblings, and a daughter, Connie. She is survived by her husband, David, sons, David, Beau, and Sherry Fullen, Gary and Karen Fullen, 10 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, a niece, and many family and friends. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, June 8th at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with the Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. To send family condolences, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. June Bingham, Dallas. Donna June Gillis Bingham, 88, of Odessa, passed away May 4th in Dallas. She was born in Wichita, Kansas, May 21st, 1931, to Clyde Gillis and Leola Kendra Gillis. June married George Edward Bingham in Lubbock in 1950. She is preceded in death by her parents, Leola and Clyde Gillis, her husband, George Bingham, brother and sister-in-law, Elwood, Bud Gillis, and Jeanette, and 2 grandsons. She is survived by her daughter and son-in-law, Denise Bingham Walker and Rick of Dallas, 2 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, her brother and his wife, nieces, nephews, and other loved ones. Due to current circumstances, there will not be a traditional visitation or service. A celebration of life will be held at a later date to be determined. The family requests donations in lieu of flowers in memory of June Bingham. Love Without Boundaries, Post Office Box 1861, Lowell, Arkansas 72745. On the net, https://www.sunsetodessa.com/ lovewithoutboundaries.com/donate/. Michael Dwayne Flippin. Michael Dwayne Flippin, 70, of Odessa, passed away June 1st. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Tuesday, June 9th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Pastor Jim Davis of Hamlin, a lifelong friend, officiating. For those unable to attend, please go to his obituary page at www.sunsetodessa.com to view a live stream video at the time of the service. Mike was born to T.N. Flippin Jr. and Sid Corbell Flippin in Seminole. He married Carla Huckabee in 1968 in Odessa. Mike is preceded in death by his father, T.N. Flippin Jr., his stepfather, James L. Webb Jr., a grandmother and grandfather. He is survived by his wife of 51 years, Carla, daughter Nikki Lee and husband Kevin, son Michael Chase Flippin, brothers Jerry Flippin and Monty Flippin, his mother Sid Webb, four grandchildren and one great-grandson. He is also survived by his uncles, aunts, nieces, and nephews, as well as several cousins, great-nieces, and nephews. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Maureen Arp. Maureen Mo Arp, 52, of Midland, died Saturday, May 30th. A funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday, June 8th at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Zoe Navea Navarrete. Zoe Navea Navarrete, infant, of Odessa, died Thursday, June 4th. A graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, June 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Mariana Neiman. Mariana Neiman, 88, of Odessa, died Thursday, June 4th. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. June 12th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Reverend Clydell Chapman officiating.
This is Michael with Dear Abby, Monday, June 8th. Roommates' drunken fights begin to wear renter down. Dear Abby, my roommate owns the house. His girlfriend and her two children are over here all day, every day. I have my own living room, office, and bedroom, and we share the kitchen and bathroom. I'm clean and respectful and try to mind my own business. The problem is neither of them work. They drink heavily every day and then scream and fight for hours. Since COVID-19, they have been drinking even more and fighting constantly. Sometimes it gets physical. My roommate is a verbally abusive drunk, and his girlfriend threatens to leave when he starts abusing her kids, but doesn't follow through. I have intervened a couple of times on behalf of the children, but there's only so much I can do. Lately, they've been screaming at the top of their lungs about me. I work from home, and often customers on the phone hear them drop F-bomb after F-bomb. I'm afraid their behavior will lead me to losing my job. They're also up until 2 or 3 a.m. every night fighting, which keeps me from sleeping, even with earplugs. I'm completely stressed out and starting to get depressed. I'm not sure what to do. I have limited funds, so moving would be difficult. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions so I can weather the storm. Bad situation in Utah. Dear bad situation, this storm isn't going to end. I feel for the children whose mother doesn't protect them from her abusive boyfriend. The result will be they will think they deserve the mistreatment they are receiving, which may affect them for the rest of their lives. I am not sure there is a way to weather the storm. because these addicts cannot control their behavior and it is affecting the way your clients perceive you, it would be better to get out of there. If possible, go live temporarily with a friend or relative until you find affordable alternative living quarters. Your job may depend on it. Dear Abby, my daughter-in-law, Hannah, told one of my children that she is sorry she married my son. He does not know. They are both young adults. Hannah and her mother had pushed for the marriage. She even bought her wedding dress before he proposed. My son loves her. He is special needs, lower IQ, and gullible. What do I do with this information? It will hurt him, but I don't want him wasting years married to someone who doesn't love him. He deserves better than that. Sad Mom in Florida. Dear Sad Mom, your son needs to know what Hannah has been saying and receive as much support from the family as possible. I think the news should come from the person in whom Hannah confided rather than from you, which could be perceived as meddling. This should also be discussed with an attorney. I hope you will do it soon before there are children involved. Dear Abby, on May 3rd, you responded to a cancer patient about what to say to those who bring up her cancer. What do you recommend to readers whose good friends disclose their cancer for the first time? What can be said that shows concern, understanding, and being supportive? At a loss for words. Dear At a Loss, I will share what I have said to people I care about when told of their diagnosis. I hope it will guide you. I tell the person I am sorry to hear the person is having to fight that battle, that I will mention him or her in my prayers until remission is accomplished, and offer whatever emotional support the person is willing to accept from me. And then I follow through.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Gemini and a moon in Capricorn until 8:54 p.m., when the moon enters Aquarius. Happy birthday for Monday, June 8, 2020. Individualistic and influential, you shape the world the way you want it. Your highly developed mental abilities make this year a success, although you will be happier if you do not let ambition completely dictate your life. If single, you will find that special someone at the end of the year, and then in a way out place. If attached, loyalty is your most important value, so you stay in your relationship stress-free. Capricorn calls the shots. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. Your job is in transformation today. Reputation will be an influential factor. Project a positive, professional image at work. You perform all jobs well. Make decisions and communicate. Your mind is especially quick and alert. Tonight, check in on an elderly family member. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. It is a good time to finalize documents and agreements. Reading assumes new importance. Find literature and articles about self-improvement catch your eye. You will respond to new ideas in every way. You will discover hidden aptitudes. Tonight, virtual travel for pleasure. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. You want to cast away dead weight and other debris. Thoughts center on the deeper meaning of your life. You do some investigative work to solve a mystery. Other people's financial decisions and needs might affect your security. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. You will encounter some forceful, dynamic people today. They bring excitement your way. But check your inner guidance before acting too quickly on advice they give. Your ethical attitude wins admiration in the end. An important new partnership is forged. Tonight, date night. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. You discover hints about enhancing strength and well-being, or a home remedy that works marvelously on an existing health condition. Share your findings with a friend or relative who is under the weather. Tonight, a friend really needs your help. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today brings a happy meeting with an old friend. Your warmth and affection act like a magnet, drawing companions your way. Others are loving and cooperative. You share a good joke with a child you care for. Tonight, you make a difference for the better. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. It is time to make adjustments in your family life or residence. The subtle support of a friend resolves difficulty and heightens your sense of security and confidence. A relative who has been out of touch makes a surprise visit or call. Tonight, early bedtime. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Calls and emails come in from helpful people. You realize how much a neighbor or sibling thinks of you. Several short journeys will brighten your day. Your flair with the written word allows you to write or sell effectively. Tonight, others seek your advice. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Today brings more of a demand for your skills. Details are still in a state of flux, though, so you must be philosophical if there is a delay. Resist the temptation to argue about money. Talk over compromises instead. Tonight, you impress others. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Your standard of living is about to improve. Be alert to opportunities for promotion. Believe in yourself and try new projects. This is the start of a tremendous growth and opportunity cycle. Tonight, refrain from discussing your good fortune with a jealous associate. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. You are changing inwardly, reacting to people and situations with more objectivity and poise. Others confide their problems in you. You will find satisfaction and involvement in altruistic and humanitarian projects. Tonight, you feel like being alone and cherishing your privacy. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. This is a potent troubleshooting day. You find ways to make adjustments that create ease and more enjoyment in your daily life. Let friendly camaraderie touch professional relationships. Be a true friend to the one you love. Tonight, new organizations and groups are interesting. Born today, architect Frank Lloyd Wright, 1867, comedian Joan Rivers, 1933, singer Nancy Sinatra, 1940.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.